Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studios. Bill is on vacation this week. You can follow his Central Coast adventures on Facebook. This is Ben Bueller Garcia. I'm usually the host of American Warrior Radio here Saturdays at noon here on KVOI. This September 11th will mark the 20th anniversary of the horrible attacks that shocked the world. Today we'll be discussing that fateful day with several guests who personally experienced that violence. Angela Harrell currently serves as the president and CEO of the 100 Club of Arizona and was a federal agent at the State Department facility just north of the Pentagon on September 11th. We'll also be joined by Staff Sergeant Matt Rosenberg, who was an Army medic assigned to the Pentagon. And joining me as my co-host in studio, one of my favorite guys, former New York fireman, cop, he's been just about everything, Dan Ruan. Dan, thanks for being here.
Good afternoon, and my pleasure, and thank you so very, very much.
Dan, let me just say, folks, this is going to be a pretty intense show, but if you'd like to interact, give us a call on the Buckmaster Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That number is 790-2040. Dan, you have experience both as a law enforcement officer for several departments, but let's talk about today, if you don't mind. Let's focus on your time with Engine Company 33. For a lot of us, Dan, and I don't want to think of myself as getting old, but I think, man, it's been 20 years. And all of us can remember where we were. That morning started off pretty normal for a lot of us. How about you? Where were you? How did your day start?
My day actually started with two police officers. And contrary to popular belief, we relate really well together, especially when you work lower Manhattan in New York City. I was with Bob Massey and Larry. And Larry and Bob were the best of friends, and I was their painter for the day because we paint together. It's a lot of fun when you're off work, you paint. Well, it turned out it was a beautiful day, sunny, gorgeous, and we had the news on the radio watching, and it turned out we saw the first plane strike the North Tower. We all looked at each other. And Larry O'Leary just looks at me and says, "We got to go now." And I said, "Yeah, you're right." And as we're leaving out the door, we're setting up because I have to go to the fire station. I'm out of 9 truck, which is also assigned with 33 engine. And we are less than a mile from the World Trade Center. I've been to the World Trade Center numerous, numerous times. Engine 33 happens to be a high-rise unit. They are second due on any high-rise from Lower Manhattan from 23 down to Battery Park.
Now, to interrupt, so does that mean they've got both specialized equipment
yes.
and training then?
Yes.
Okay.
Same as 9 truck. 9 truck is a search and rescue unit, and we'll go in and we'll take a door, we'll do the search first, and then let the engine come in and knock it down and put the fire out. But we're into a search and rescue team. So that day, Mikey Wernick, my partner, was working for me. It was my group of guys. He's working with my team. And it turns out I was coming in that night anyway, and then I responded as fast as possible, which was within about 25 minutes. And then we all went down there. We commandeered a lumber yard, Great Jones Lumber Truck, and we all hopped on that, went to the Trade Center, and as soon as we got there, the South Tower came down. We backed off, and then the North Tower came down. North Tower was the first to get hit, but the second to come down. 9 truck and 33 were all assigned to the North Tower. And the thing about that is Kevin Pfeiffer, which happens to be the engine company lieutenant that day with his team, he met his brother, Joe Pfeiffer. He was a Division I commander that day. So Joe saw Kevin and Engine 33 go up, and they probably made about the 28th, 30th floor, because in 1993, I had with my team, I made it to the 31st floor, and they never made it out, and it was
Dan,
so sad.
For I've never been to New York, much less the obviously, I can't go see what the World Trade Center looks like now, but for those of us who haven't, give us some perspective. So when an engine or a ladder rolls up to this site, how close are they to the actual buildings?
Okay.
A number of yards or?
No, actually, it depends on the location. As you're responding to, the division will tell you where they want you to set up. 9 trucks set up on Vesey Street, which is the corner of Vesey and... It's right by 10 truck and 10 engine, the 10 house. And then 33 engines set up right in front of the building. So it came down, and the engine chauffeur was able to back the rig just to get another hydrant and set up for their firefighting.
So you, on the way, you commandeered a civilian vehicle.
Yes.
And so you, at that point, you didn't, you weren't aware of the second plane yet. So, I mean, because all of us went to that from that
correct.
Point down where it's like, that's got to be some kind of crazy accident to, oh, this is no accident.
No, it was no accident. And we knew it wasn't any accident. In 1993, we've been trained after that for years about, we saw something written and we knew something was going to happen. We just didn't know when it was going to happen. But we picked that. The FDNY is a smart team, and they knew this was going to happen. So it turned out it came to fruition. It was hit on 9/11.
You and I have gotten together and talked before, and I'll never forget, Dan, you shared with me. So your team gets there right as the second tower came down, and you described this period of, I think you called it, you felt like you'd stepped into a Twilight Zone episode where there was just this eerie silence, all, you know, dust, you couldn't see anything, but all you could hear was that click, click, click of the Mars lights. And if anybody's ever stood close to an emergency vehicle, you back in those days, not anymore, it's all electronic, I guess, but I mean,
the percussion of the buildings coming down, whatever unit was nearby, actually blew all the engines out. And all you heard was the electronics of the trucks. And yes, you are correct. Click, click, click. And yes, it was a Twilight Zone, because even at 10 o'clock in the morning, there was so much debris that was falling from the sky. And the sky went from beautiful blue and sunny to darkened. And debris everywhere, everywhere.
Dan, I've got to ask, how I know it's your job and you took an oath and you were wearing a badge. How does a human being pick themselves up after witnessing and being involved in something like that and say, okay, now we've got to keep going?
All right. With me, I went from the FDNY right to LAPD. After LAPD, I did wildland firefighting here in the state of Arizona, and I fell in love with the state of Arizona. A lot of people don't realize that the state of Arizona and wildland, how they set up their command posts. Well, New York City came to Arizona to learn on command post operations. We have a different command post. We set up in the building. To this day, we do not set up in a building anymore because we know the repercussions of that building coming down, and that comes down. So now going from that fire, I wanted to stay just as busy, and I worked with the town of Marana as a police officer for almost 16 years. And the town of Marana, which I loved with all my heart, they let me be a fireman, a policeman, and an EMS technician. I'm the only rig out there with an AED. I'm the only rig out there that's got a fire equipment. I have forcible entry tools. I have a can. I have a dry cam. You name it, I can do anything, and I love it. And you know something? They let me. And they've done so well for me, and it kept my head clear. So if it wasn't for Marana and the state of Arizona, who knows where Danny would be right now.
And that number, folks, is 1-800-DAN-ROWAN.
It's funny you say
that. Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call? 1-800-DAN-ROWAN. Yeah, very good. A lot of people still do that, you know, to this day, which I just recently retired, and they'll call me up with, let's just say, a subject that I've dealt with, and they'll say, give me all the lowdown. Give me the background. Mm-hmm. Give me the 4-3 on this person. And I do. It's still a lot of fun.
Folks, Dan lost, and if I get these numbers right, Dan, I think you lost at least 10 members of your company alone.
10
on September 11th. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back. The largest 9/11 tower challenge in the country using military and first responders takes place all across Arizona and in Tucson on September 11th. If you're a member of one of those groups or you know someone who is, encourage them to visit 911towerchallengefoundation.org. They can still sign up for that. There's also a special dinner event that's open to civilians that evening, September 11th, downtown at the Doubletree. The keynote speaker for that event is coming up and joining Dan and I next. Stick around, folks. Tucson's home of the Danish Kringle is Mona's Danish Bakery on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's has more than just delicious baked goods. They're open Tuesdays through Sundays for breakfast and lunch. They also do catering, and you can order from their selection of fresh baked breads and pastries for your next office party or special family event. Check out their menus and order online at monasdanishbakery.com, the home of the delicious Danish Kringle, Mona's Danish Bakery at the corner of Swan and Sunrise. We'll be right back, folks.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Zuccolo Village Studios. We're talking about September 11th attacks, which occurred 20 years ago. Feel free to give us a call on the Buckmaster Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That number is 520-790-2040. This is guest host Ben Buehler-Garcia. I'm talking to Dan Rowan. Dan has been a lot of things, but among them, he was a New York City firefighter, and he was present there on that fateful day, September 11th, 2001. Dan, 20 years ago now, we're looking at each other here in studio and just sort of remarking to each other that I'm sure you have powerful feelings on each year's anniversary, but 20 years, a little different, a lot different?
20 years has gone by so fast. I still have, they're not nightmares, but they're still like dreams of all the people that I've worked with, and I miss them so much. And I am happy in a way that no one forgets. No matter where I'm at, I can be wearing an FDNY t-shirt, and everyone remembers where they were during 9/11, you know? And it actually makes me feel good that they don't forget, you know, the lost souls, you know, the 343, 411 fire, police, EMS, and yeah.
So yeah, just literally, it's radio, so people can't see
us. I know
us,
they
but,
can't see.
You know, I'm looking at your uniform, and the second piece you've got down there on your chest, you know, 343 with the star.
Yeah, that depicts that I was there at the Trade Center and I operated that day. So people will have a different type of a unit citation, but because it's black purple with the star on board, means I responded, I served for 9/11 that day.
Dan, I mentioned you lost 10 members of your engine company directly, but I know that of that 343 number, you know, New York City's a big place, but the fire department's not. It's a small town, right? And you said, I think you had worked or trained, what,
53
of those firefighters who were killed.
Yeah, I mean, I worked, broke bread with them, lunch, dinner, briefings, you know, trained. It's a phenomenal thing to see so many. 9 Truck and 33, it's a historical landmark. 42 Great Jones Street, Lower Manhattan, born in 1898. It was the chief of the department. He lived there with his family. You know, 33 engine came into effect, which was the Metropolitans, believe it or not, the Mets, go figure, the Metropolitans, 1865, mm-hmm. was engine 33. 9 Truck didn't come into effect until like 1917, 1920. And then they came together after the 1920s and made it 33 and 9. But 33 always be the landlord of the house. They owned that house.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, there were 4 aircraft. 2 hit the World Trade Center. 1 went down, I think, thankfully, and I almost hate to use that word, but due to the courage of some Americans that went down in a field in Pennsylvania, the 4th aircraft hit the Pentagon. 125 service members were killed. From a military perspective from that day, now we're going to add to the mix Matt Rosenberg. Matt was an Army medic assigned to the Pentagon. Matt, thanks for joining Dan and I here on the Buckmaster Show today.
Thank you for having me.
Matt, your story, I mean, to me, what's compelling about your story is not just what you did on the day of the attacks, but it's ironic, maybe, is the word, what you were doing just a couple days earlier. Tell our listeners what that was.
So I had just recently been appointed to the position of mass casualty or disaster response NCO, probably about 2-3 weeks before September 11th. And I had hit the ground running trying to build up our kits, just see how much of our mass cal plan we can put together, where we were at with our supplies, and started ordering more supplies the best I could, and trying to do inventories on those supplies. And because there was a delay in getting some of the orders because it was the end of the fiscal year, I wound up having to procure certain supplies from around our clinic. And because it took longer to do that, I wound up leaving our mass cal supplies out for inventory. And as a result of that, they were actually left out for the attack.
The attack that you didn't know was coming.
Not at all.
And now you, one of the things, as I understand it, Matt, in the plans that you were reviewing for mass casualty plans was the, and I use the air quote fingers, the unlikely event of an aircraft hitting the Pentagon. Is that just a rumor or is that true?
That is true. So the mass casualty plan at the Pentagon actually started to be reviewed and changed about a year prior to the attack on the Pentagon. And as a result of that, there were multiple tabletop exercises, but in one of those tabletop exercises, they did a scenario in which a private, almost like Cessna type plane crashed into the center courtyard of the Pentagon.
Yeah, well, it ended up being a little bit different than that. Matt, I don't know if you had a chance to hear Dan's comments, Dan's engine company, or Dan rolled up on the World Trade Center just as the second tower came down and was describing what that was like. What your day, Matt, started pretty normal, I'm guessing, as well. You're sitting there at the Pentagon. And did you know, though, and remind me of the timing on this, I'm assuming it's, you guys already knew that something squirrely was going on in New York, right?
So I was that day, I was a part of the Pentagon's emergency response teams. So I came into work as usual. I checked in, checked my equipment, signed for my radio, and went to the minor surgery clinic where I worked. We were just finishing up a patient when somebody came in and said that the World Trade Center had been hit by a plane. And so we kind of wanted to see what was going on with that. So we finished up the patient and we were watching the TV. And we all had this sinking feeling like, this is horrible. And then we kind of left and somebody came back and said, hey, the World Trade Center got hit. And we had said something to the effect of, we know it's horrible. And they said, no, it got hit again. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can just feel like the bottom of your stomach fall out. Because we knew at that point, this wasn't an accident.
And how long was it between the period when the second plane hit the towers and the plane hit the Pentagon?
About 20 minutes.
Okay, so not enough time to even process that, hardly.
We were in the process of just straightening up, getting ready for the next thing. And about 20 minutes later, the fire alarm went off. And so as part of protocol, we started evacuating our patients out. And up until that point, we didn't know that there was anything wrong. We couldn't feel anything hit the building. We knew nothing other than two planes had hit the World Trade Center, and we were having a fire drill.
So, again, as I mentioned, I need to travel more. It's pretty clear, Dan. I've never been to New York. I've never been to Washington. I haven't seen the Pentagon. But, you know, the compared to the World Trade Center towers, the Pentagon's a little more squat and spread out. And so that's the reason maybe you think that you didn't feel it seems like the concussion, Matt, of a commercial aircraft in a building would be pretty easy to pick out, but not so, I guess.
So you have to remember that the reason why the casualties were so low at the Pentagon was that the area of the Pentagon that had been hit had just undergone a recent renovation. So it had been re-strengthened and completely updated with like new impact resistant pretty much from the ground up in that section. So that's the reason why there wasn't a lot of people in that section. And it's also because of that reinforcement in that section that the shockwave didn't really go out past that section much.
Matt,
we were on the other side of where it hit, so we didn't feel it.
You know, you hear a lot of comparisons to this was sort of our generation's Pearl Harbor moment. And there's a scene, I don't know how accurate it is, but in the movies where it's like, you know, this is not a drill. This is, we can't use that language on the air, Dan. But it's like, you know, honest to goodness, this is not a drill. Was there a moment like that at the Pentagon as well, Matt, where all of a sudden all your radios started lighting up and you knew this was not just a fire drill?
As we were evacuating patients, I moved up to the front desk area and I was there with our chief nurse, Major Brown, and the nurse in charge of the EMS for that day, Captain Gladwell. And I was standing there helping them evacuate patients, and a naval commander came in and he said, hey, I have a patient in the center courtyard that needs help. And they looked at me and they said, go check it out. So I looked at the commander and said, lead the way. And I'll never forget, he and I were trying to dodge and weave through all of these people that were just going through the evacuation process and running against the stream, heading the opposite direction. And for me, everything became crystal clear the second I opened the door and took 20 feet into the center courtyard. I saw black smoke billowing out of the side of the building. And the first patient, the patient I was there to see, was pretty badly burned and was screaming. So I got on my radio And I said, this is Sergeant Rosenberg. We need to initiate the mass cal plan right now. I need medical assets to the center courtyard immediately. And by the time I got to our first patient, Captain Glidewell was in the center courtyard, and I overheard her say something to the effect of, this is not a drill, this is real, into her radio. And she began to set up the initial triage area right there in the center courtyard.
Matt, kind of an odd question. We've got just about a minute here before we have to take a break, and I want to ask this because I've got a firefighter here with me. Does the Pentagon have its own fire response service, or do the municipal folks around there handle that?
So we had a limited fire response service, which was backed up by Arlington, Alexandria, and Fairfax County.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ben Buehler-Garcia, guest hosting for Bill Buckmaster. I have two gentlemen, both, one in studio, one on the phone, who were there on September 11th. That's our subject we're talking about today. And folks, we just can't ever forget. And it's been 20 years since those attacks happened, coming up next week. And so I hope you'll pause and take a moment. If you'd like to engage with our guests, give us a call, 520-790-2040. We're going to take a short break here. Just a reminder, there is the 9/11 Never Forgotten Tower Challenge coming up this Saturday, September 11th. The climb itself, we're expecting about 4,000 people across the state to do the climb. And they're raising money for the 100 Club of Arizona and the Gary Sinise Foundation. If you'd like to just donate or do the climb virtually, visit 911towerchallengefoundation.org. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on the Green Things Socolo Village Studios, folks. This is Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill. You can follow Bill's adventures. He's enjoying a vacation, hopefully one without complications this time, but you can follow him on his Facebook page, see what he's doing in the California, the coast of California. Thanks for the opportunity to sit in, Bill. We're talking about September 11th. We've got two great guests here. Before we do that, I just want to, you know, share with you, with all this rain, I'm thinking I should have put in a few more plants in the ground earlier this year. If you're planning some fall gardening, you definitely should be paying a visit to Green Things to pick up some plants. Since 1970, Green Things has been Tucson's go-to place for gardening needs. While you're there, check out the fine imported furniture and art at Socolo Village Studios. Green Things in Socolo Village are on River Road just west of the Brandy Fenton Park and on the web at greenthingsaz.com or socolovillage.com. Like I said, two great guests with us right now. If you'd like to ask a question, call us on the Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management line, 790-2040. In studio, I've got Dan Rowan. Dan Rowan was a New York City firefighter who was present at the World Trade Center on that tragic day on the phone. We also have Matt Rosenberg. Matt was an Army medic at the Pentagon when that attack happened. Matt, it's interesting. I'm talking to Dan, and we're sitting here in the studio, and we've got, you know, in studio, you've got this soundproofing stuff up on the walls. And Dan just mentioned me, says, you know, I'm looking at you, but I'm looking at that soundproofing behind you, and what I see are the World Trade Center towers. And just, I mean, what a fascinating thing to say. Do you still have those moments as well, Matt, as you're out there? Because you're retired now, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Do you still get those moments on occasion where you'll see something? Or because I guess the, you know, we do radio, and so we believe in the power of storytelling, but you can't replicate the smells and what you're seeing and just that stuff that, and I know sometimes, particularly as a former wildland firefighter myself, I know that there's some scents that get in your nose that you just can't wash out. It's like they're embedded in your brain, in your circuitry somewhere. Do you get that on occasion as well, Matt?
Occasionally, I get that with ammonia, when I smell ammonia, and I get that when sometimes I'm at a hairstylist and I smell burning hair and I'm right back to 9/11.
Yeah. What, Matt, you were awarded the Army Soldier's Medal for your actions evacuating and treating patients on 9/11, which, if folks aren't familiar with that, that's a pretty big deal. I'm sure you weren't the only one, but is that a, how do I put this? It's maybe like a Purple Heart. Is that maybe a medal that nobody wants to get, given what happened?
So this is the Soldier's Medal is considered the highest award for valor, not in combat, that the U.S. Army can offer. And I will tell you that when somebody told me I was going to get that award, I had a little bit of a nervous breakdown because I didn't think I deserved that award. I think that there were so many people there that did so many amazing things. That award is one of those awards where if you're in a room with 1,000 people in the military and you have that award, you are probably the only person who has that award. And the greatest thing that I can say is that I wasn't the only person to get that award that day. Not only were there numerous people that the Pentagon gave that award to, but in the DiLorenzo TRICARE Health Clinic that I worked, if I remember correctly, it was between 11 and 13 other people received that award that day. I tell people that I served with a bunch of heroes that day. Mm-hmm. Because that's truly what I believe.
And I tell you, gentlemen, part of the reason I really want to do this show, and I'm grateful for Bill for giving this the opportunity, is bringing the two of you together even though we're thousands of miles apart right now, but we're connected by technology. And unfortunately, you two are part of a rapidly declining band of brothers. You made the I Served with Heroes reference there. And Dan, you anything you want to talk to Matt about? Or
well, I never looked at when they made the World Trade Center ground zero. Ground zero always ripped at my heartstrings. To me, it's ground hero. For them, it's so difficult running in when everyone runs out. I mean, you can build a fireman, a policeman, a military personnel, but it has to come from the heart. And by it coming from the heart, it's ground hero. It's not ground zero. I know what they mean by ground zero. And you have to feel the same way. I've had the opportunity to be in the Pentagon just less than 2 months later. I had that opportunity. And I saw what you all went through also. And God bless you for what you've done. We're just two of the same people that just love to run in and help people when people run out. It's an adrenaline thing, and I don't know. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I wouldn't even not say no. I still do that now. It's still amazing.
You're right there, Matt?
Yep, just listening. I find it always very interesting to me because I feel like the word hero gets bandied around a lot.
Correct.
In our society. That said, there is something very noble about emergency services personnel, because anyone can volunteer to step up in society. Anyone can. But it takes a certain kind of dedication to go out and see the things that emergency services personnel see every single day, and then decide the next morning that they're going to do it all over again. Mm-hmm. Every morning, emergency services personnel in this country get up and report for duty. They are reaffirming the idea that they are willing to put their life on the line for a complete stranger.
Correct.
Matt, did you deploy after 9/11?
I did. I served in Iraq.
Okay. And the reason I bring that up is I had a guest on American Warrior Radio who made a comparison similar to what you said. And they said, look, at least in the military, and this was someone who had served both in law enforcement and the military. He says, at least in the military, you know, most, let's keep it this way, it's an away game. So you go, you do your duty, you fight the bad guys, but then you get to come home for a little bit. And you're still in the military, but you're not in the combat zone. But for a police officer, for a firefighter, you're always on duty, even when you're not. And I just made me think of that when you said that. Now, Matt, when you come out here, again, I want to encourage folks, if you'd like to hear more of Matt's story in person, please visit 911towerchallengefoundation.org. You can sign up. There's just a few tickets left for the dinner where Matt will be the keynote speaker. But, Matt, one thing you'll witness at the event itself is we do an oath of enlistment for new recruits on the field or on the floor before we start the climb. And we did that because, you know, thinking about it, young people that are taking the oath to wear the uniform or to don the badge weren't born when those attacks happened. And it's a very, very powerful moment. And, you know, I thought of that really in the context of military, but, you know, Dan corrected me here. He says, like, yeah, you've got now second generation firefighters whose parents were killed in those attacks were now agreeing to step up and do the same thing.
That's where we're at this point is, you know, it was very interesting to hear and be reminded of the fact that so many of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that are at the tail end of what we've been doing overseas weren't born when this whole thing started. And it's interesting to me because this new generation of people is the one that, well, old-timers like me are going to pass that torch to. They are the people that we will look towards to carry on the fight, to help protect us, to help sustain us, and to help defend us. And so I think that it is so very vital that 9/11 continues to be an honored holiday in the sense that it serves not only as a reminder for those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, but it serves as a chance to pass on to the next generation that proverbial torch that we, in some cases, are no longer able to carry ourselves.
Right. Very powerful words, Matt. Thanks for sharing that. We look forward to having you join us here in Tucson and, gosh, just a few days. Have safe travels, and we look forward to meeting you. And thanks for spending some time with Dan and I today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Matt. Greatly appreciated.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. When we come back, we'll be adding a third guest who was also in Washington when those attacks happened. Her organization, the 100 Club, just happens to be one of the beneficiaries of the 9/11 Tower Challenge coming up. If you'd like to give us a call, 790-2040 is the Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management line. Al will get to you after the break. Stick around, folks.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Buehle, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, folks. This is Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill in the Green Things Socolo Village Studios. Folks, fall is a great time to plan a visit to our friends just across the border at Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3 hours away from Tucson, there's lots to see and do. From Silver City's historic downtown to the beauty of the Gila National Wilderness, I personally recommend a visit to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument and the Catwalk Recreation Area. We used to go there all the time when I was in high school. For a complete listing of things to see and do and all the great places to stay, visit Southwest newmexico.org. Joining us now to continue our discussion about September 11th and the upcoming 20th anniversary is Angela Harrell. She is the CEO and president of the 100 Club of Arizona. The 100 Club is one of the beneficiaries of this year's 9/11 Tower Challenge, along with the Gary Sinise Foundation. Angela, I know you're awfully busy. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, are you kidding? I'm honored. Thanks for having me.
Well, no problem. You might change your mind, because before we talk to Angela, I think, Tom, we've got a caller. Can we get to Al now? Al, you had a comment. We had to hold you over the commercial. Go ahead, Al.
That's all right. I want to commend the valiant effort of the gentlemen that are there on the 20th anniversary. And my comment is, the thing I remember the most is being just as a military town is there were no planes. There were no planes in the air for a week. And it's just the strangest sight of hearing them every day being outside and then silence.
All right. I have something for you on that. While we were operating there, I worked there for 72 straight hours. I refused to leave the scene until I was ordered to do so. Well, since you said no planes, there were F-16s, there were Warthogs. They were flying over the top of us just to keep us safe in case another plane did come through. So when you say there's no planes, if you looked overhead, it was probably one of the scariest scenes, because planes do not fly over New York City. You're talking, it's 26 miles long by 3.5 wide, but no plane ever flies over New York City. Well, we had the two planes that hit the Trade Center, and then right after that, we actually had the Warthogs or the F-16s flying to protect us. And that was an unbelievable feeling.
I'm glad both of you brought that up, gentlemen, because I being a Tucsonan, I remember that it seemed eerily quiet here for a while as well, because we're so used to the planes flying over, it's like you don't miss it until it's gone. So, Al, thanks for listening to the Buckmaster Show. Thanks for calling and sharing your comment.
Thank you, gentlemen, and you have a great day.
You too, sir.
You also, Al.
Never forget. Angela, you have a kind of a double connection. The reason I wanted you on the show here, not only are you a beneficiary for the Tower Challenge this year, your organization, which does great stuff for supporting first responders all across the state, but you also had a personal experience. You were on the ground there on September 11, 2001. Why don't you tell us, share a little bit about your story, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure, of course. I was actually serving as a special agent in Washington, D.C. and the surrounding area in Virginia at the time. And I was actually there for a training class right next to in a building, a State Department building just near the Pentagon. And as we were sitting in the training class, we saw a plane. And we thought, well, that's kind of odd. We don't normally see planes there. And then we had heard something, but we didn't know what we had heard. Well, it turns out that fast forward about 10 minutes, we were all called to start evacuating the facility that we were in and move everybody into a protected location because that was obviously the result of the plane hitting the Pentagon. It was incredibly scary. You're here you are, this big, bad special agent. You're supposed to be able to have it all handled. And all I can think is I've got to figure out how to get out a phone call. And, you know, we're all so reliant on our cell phones. Well, cell phones didn't work. And I remember going through all of the different offices, going through the different parts of the building, and then every once in a while I would pick up a phone to see if I could get a landline to go out. And I did. And I called my mom. I called my parents. They were back in Minnesota. And I was a little shooken up, but not tearful or anything. But when my mom answered the phone, it didn't sound like her. So I used her name. I said, "Joan, is this you?" And she said, yes, it's me. And she thought she was getting that call because she didn't recognize my voice either. And why would I call her by her first name? I call her mom, but it didn't sound like her. And I said, "It's me, I'm okay." And she said, okay, just go. So it was very, very impactful because around you, you know, the city literally is frozen in time. And as the wonderful caller just mentioned, you know, there are no planes. It just got eerily quiet and you can't get a hold of your loved ones because there's no cell phone access. There's no more normalcy. And that was an incredible, challenging place to be. Even though you're surrounded by colleagues and such, it's still, it feels like you're on an island alone.
Angela, you just touched on something that made me think. Our previous guest, Matt Rosenberg, he said one thing that impressed him at the Pentagon was the civilians. Once kind of everybody realized what was happening, the civilians who evacuated, a lot of them came back in to try and help. Dan, when I see images of the World Trade Center, of Ground Hero, most folks are, and maybe they were directed to get the heck out of there, but were there folks who stuck around and helped, or pretty much was the word, if you're not a firefighter or a law enforcement, get out of Dodge?
A lot of people did stick around to help, and they removed people who were overcome and escorted them to us mm-hmm. for safety. They had no idea what was really happening and where to go. And we have a fire station directly across the street. You know, in 10 and 10, the 10 house was right there. And they couldn't even go there. It was decimated. So everything, a lot of civilians helped us out. No ifs or buts about it.
You know, and Angela, what you inspired me to think of is I've talked to a number of people, and Dan might have been one of them, who said, you know, I don't ever want to see another September 11th. I would love to see more September 12ths in our country.
Oh.
And the way
absolutely.
People, and maybe Angela, maybe you're the one that said that, but, you know, coming together again like that, and, you know, none of us hope for another tragedy, but I think what your comments speak to the resiliency and really some of the iron will of the American people when we're put up against something like that.
You know, you've never seen more flags flying. You've never seen people spend more time with their family, hug them tighter, have a greater appreciation. And that is what I really thought came out of it, like you said, September 12th.
Angela, have you met Dan Rowan? He's kind of a local legend.
I hear he's a legend. There's no question.
tell us real quick, given that we've got both a law enforcement and a firefighter here, tell us real quick, Angela, about what your organization does for the first responder community and why it's so important to continue to get this support. For it's almost like this generation that witnessed 9/11, we're now raising money to support the next generation who wasn't here, but is still doing the job.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. And the 100 Club is around to do just that. We support police officers and firefighters and also corrections throughout the entire state. And we support them in the event of a line of duty death. We take care of their family for years to come. We support them if they're injured in the line of duty. We provide scholarships to their children, and we buy equipment to make them safer. But there's some other things that we do that are increasingly important, and that is mental health and wellness. And right now we have two apps out there, Bulletproof and Fireproof, and those apps are immediate resources in the palm of their hand where they can talk to somebody near them, where they can make sure that they've got resources that are vetted and that are culturally sensitive to the interactions that they have on a daily basis, because we know that their mental health is just as important as their physical health. So we like to say we're the men and women that stand behind the men and women who wear the badge.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, Angela. Given what's happening in the world today, I know we're very concerned about some of our veterans who served in Afghanistan and what their mental state is right now. And Dan, I guess it's probably pretty similar every year on September 11th. We need to make a little extra effort to reach out to some of your comrades, whether they were in New York or not.
Correct. I still touch everyone. I still make the phone calls. If it wasn't for WhatsApp, Facebook, FaceTime, It helps us out tremendously, and you're doing a great job, Angela. I thank you so very, very much.
Well, and thank you, sir, for your service.
Thank you.
Angela, we've got to go. Give us your website real quick.
100club.org, 100club.org. You can find us everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you name it, all of them.
There you go, folks. And if you'd like to pitch in, even if you're not a first responder or military and want to support the Tower Challenge, visit 911towerchallengefoundation.org. You can do the climb virtually in your home, local high school stadium. It all matters. It all helps. Bill, thanks for letting me sit in, folks. You can find this podcast and others at BillBuckmaster.com. Come back again tomorrow. We've got Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News is going to be the guest host. Take care, everyone, and never forget September 11th.